It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on a Thursday on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and we're always streaming on the 101.3 ESPN app. We go up until 7 o'clock today, so a full hour. We've only had one full hour show this week because of UVM hoops, so good to be back on the full show train today. Again, going up until 7 o'clock, and I do want to start with this. In radio, we are judged by what's called ratings. And you guys hear about this a lot. And we talk about, in the NFL, the ratings are down and those are TV, or the ratings are up or whatever. What was the rating, overnight rating of Game 7 of the World Series? Our ratings came out today, and it's basically the way that we get graded. And I'm not at liberty to tell you the numbers, and most of the numbers would not matter to you. But the ratings came out today, and we here at 101.3 ESPN just want to say thank you, because we've known that our listenership was growing. We've known that our listenership was getting stronger, and I still feel confident about that. And getting the ratings today just leads me to believe that we have nothing but good things continuing for us here in the future. So to all of you who have listened for a lot of years, for all of you who have started listening, for those of you who are listening more than you ever have before, to those of you who listen 5 days a week, to those of you who listen 1 day a week, catch us online, catch us live, catch us for 2 hours a day or 2 minutes a day. We appreciate you, and we thank you for that as well. 802-655-6672. You can get in on the Town Fair Tire text line. So we appreciate you. Another thing that I did have to say, and this is pretty funny. So every time I go home, and when I mean I go home, when I go back to Albany, my dad is just like a train wreck around the house. And I mean that in a, he's like Tasmanian devil, not a train wreck. He just recently retired. So he's in the process of trying to help my mom clean the entire house. And a lot of cleaning the entire house means getting rid of anything that has to do with my brother or I that isn't like immediately necessary. So my dad seems to think that I live in like some, you know, 7-bedroom castle, and I can just take everything that I acquired over the previous 24 years that I lived at home, and or 25 years that I lived at home, and can just always bring it back. So every time I go home, he gives me this, and gives me this, and gives me this. So I finally opened up the box of the last things that he gave me, and what did I see? I saw Oswego State, the athletic department, issued a calendar of events, a schedule of events, every fall season, every winter season. And there I see 2012, the spring campus schedule, and there's my picture on it. So now, I obviously had that and saved it from 2012, but it's in this box, and I'm seeing myself, my goodness, 2012, there's me. The one time I was a cover athlete for something, the one time that I was the centerfold is me in my Oswego baseball uniform with a bunch of other athletes, one from, the hockey team and the softball team and the women's basketball team and the lacrosse team and swimming, all that. So every sport was represented. But the one time that I actually got to get my photo on something around campus. So that was funny to see. Now it's hanging in my office, and if you're interested in seeing a picture of it, you can find it on Twitter at 1013 Radio Brady. We'll also retweet it from 1013 ESPN. So my one time, my debut, my first and only time as a campus marketing tool. So I thought that was pretty cool to see, because I had forgotten all about it. So here's what's coming up on the show today. We got batting practice at 6:20. We'll talk about why this game between the Titans and Patriots should be remarkably clean. That's pretty interesting when you break down those numbers. And J.D. Martinez and the Red Sox are helping prove my point. I'll get to that at 6:40. But first, another thing that's proving my point now is what the New York Giants need. Yesterday we came out a lot. We came right out of the chute and talked about the Giants needing an effective communicator, a head coach. Today I'm here to tell you and prove it. More so, maybe than anything, the Giants need a home run draft. And we think about this a lot. We've thought all about all the things the Giants need. There's a number of those things. above all else, might be a home run draft. And if it's not the most important, then it's right there as the second most important thing. The Giants need a home run draft. And here's what I've said a couple of times. Here's what I mean. If you look at these teams, the teams that come up, take the Patriots out of it because they're an anomaly. A lot of teams that come up and play well and make deep runs to the playoffs, they're young teams. They're young teams that are hungry, that are on the come up. They're aggressive. They feel like they're underpaid. They feel like they're underappreciated. The lack of experience, it just gets to them. All of that gets to them, and they get motivated. Look at again, I can use it a lot because it's my team, but look at why the Seahawks were so good. In a three-year span, that's when you drafted the Legion of Boom. Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, all drafted within 2 years of each other. So they come up together. They don't make a lot of money, so you can spend money in other places, and they grow up together. Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner drafted same year. You get these guys, if you get home run drafts that are, right next to each other, you can really, really just elevate your franchise almost overnight. I mean, look at the teams that are in the playoffs now and look at when they got their guys. Look at the Jaguars. This is a team that went from nothing to division champions overnight. Why? Home run drafts. Multiple years in a row where you're getting good players that are able to contribute. In 2016, let's go start now. From the 2017 draft, the Jaguars have three players out of seven rounds that see significant time. Leonard Fournette, Cam Robinson, the tackle, and Dede Westbrook, the wide receiver. Three players that are absolute hits right now out of this year's draft class. And who are they supplementing? 2016, three defensive starters, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, Yannick Njoku, who has 20 sacks in two seasons, hit 12 and a half sacks this year. So you've hit six players in the last two drafts, and then they hit two more in 2015. And then in 2014, they got three others. So in the last 4 years, the Jaguars have 11 players. Out of the last four drafts, they have 11 players that are key and critical elements to their team. The Giants aren't getting that. The Giants haven't been getting that. The Giants have been getting sporadic hits, and they've gotten big hits. Odell Beckham Jr. and Landon Collins are big hits. But they are not getting volume impact. They're getting staggered impact. So Dave Gettleman needs to come out this year, and he needs a draft where he hits on three or four, and a young core gets built. And then next year, he needs two, three, four, and that young core grows so that in 3 years, you've got a young core that is young, hungry, aggressive, inexpensive. You've got a young core that's young, hungry, inexpensive. And inexpensive is the key. That's another reason why hitting on draft picks is so important. They're inexpensive. You build up your core through the draft, and you supplement it with the free agent market. You supplement it with the free agent market. Look at what the Eagles have done. Okay, they've drafted pieces, and then you supplement it with an Alshon Jeffrey. Okay, look at what the Seahawks did. You draft well, you supplement it with a Michael Bennett. You supplement it with a Cliff Averill. You draft and develop Doug Baldwin. You draft and develop Paul Richardson. You supplement it with a Percy Harvin. Okay, you have Golden Tate when you win the Super Bowl. You supplement it with Percy Harvin. That's what young talent allows you to do. Your core is young, so your roster doesn't age, and your roster is inexpensive, so you can spend money in other places. The Giants, you have used free agency as a crutch. They've used it as their only method of improving. So you overspend Olivia Vernon, JPP, Janoris Jenkins, Eli Manning. Okay, quarterbacks are different. So I'll even take Eli out of the equation. But you overspend on free agent talent. Okay, and what that does is now you are older, you are tied up against the cap, and you have no youth behind you because you haven't drafted well enough to develop. Dave Gettleman's biggest task once he finds a head coach, it's all about the draft. Okay, look at the Saints. The Saints, 7-9 for three consecutive years. This year, they get in the playoffs. Why? They drafted horribly for 2 years in a row. This year, they hit on four players. Lattimore, the DB. Marcus Williams, the safety. Ryan Ramczyk played every snap this season in the offensive line. And Alvin Kamara, who rookie of the year possibility along with Kareem Hunt. Four players, impact players this year, and the Saints go from 9-7 to in the playoffs. Or go from 7-9, rather, to in the playoffs. That's how big even one really good draft class can be. The Saints now, we talk about them having an old quarterback, and they do in Drew Brees. But they're youthful in a lot of spots now because they've drafted well. And that's important, and that's what the Giants need to do. You want to get in 802-655-6672. Titans, Patriots this weekend, again, 8:15 in Foxborough. We'll be watching the game out at McGillicuddy's Five Corners in Essex. This should be a clean game. And what I mean by that is this game's not going to have a lot of penalties. I think this game is actually going to be, I don't know that it's going to be very enjoyable to watch, but I think it's going to be enjoyable for the people who want rhythm in their football game. The worst way to kill rhythm in the football game is two ways. One is penalties. The other is constant replay reviews. The Patriots are seventh in the league in fewest penalties. They average just under six penalties a game. The Titans are second in the league. They average just over five penalties a game. So you have two teams that don't get penalized a lot. You're going to have bad weather in the Boston area. So I do think you're going to see a sloppy, slow track where it is more of a running game, and that's what the Titans want. So I think you're going to see a game where there's a lot of running, a game where there's not a lot of penalties, and it's going to be enjoyable to those of us who like our game with some pace to it. I don't think this game takes 3.5 hours. I think this game takes 2 hours and 40 minutes, and I hardly ever would say that about an NFL game, but if it becomes run, 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 then throw, and there's no penalties and not a lot of replay reviews, I do think that this game will have a pace to, and I think it will be pretty clean. I said earlier, I think the final score is 38-10. I don't know that it gets that high because, again, with that slow track, I don't know that the Patriots are going to pass it 42 times. I just don't know that they're going to be able to in that weather. I think they blow them out, but maybe it's 27-7. Maybe it's 23-0. Maybe it doesn't get as high as 38-10. If you have your predictions, you can get them in on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. All right, when we come back, we haven't done this enough lately, but we're doing it today. Full show going up until 7 o'clock. Batting practice. Who said what and what's going on? The best sound bites in sports. That's next on Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back in here. Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Again, the Celtics winners earlier today. They're 3-0 against the Sixers this season. They'll play for the final time on January 18th. Today's win came across the pond in London. I thought this was pretty good. I don't know if you guys saw this. The Celtics Twitter feed put this out earlier, and the Celtics tried to do their best impressions of British accents. So I'm going to play it all the way through. It's a bunch of different players. You'll hear how bad it is, and then I'll point out some of who the guys are.
Hey, Celtics fan.
Hey, Celtics fans.
Hello, mates.
Hello, Celtics fans. I will see you in London.
Make sure to watch us at O2 Arena.
Make sure to watch us at O2 Arena.
Make sure you watch us at the O2 Arena.
January 11th, 2018.
The Queen will be there, will you?
It's game time here in London.
It's game time here in London. We'll see you in London.
Hey, Celtics fans, we'll see you in London.
So, all right, one by one here. Again, I don't know all of them off the top of my head. This is Al Horford.
Hello, mates.
So Horford had a bad one. He also went later and messed up. At the very end, it's Aaron Baines.
Hey, Celtics fans, we'll see you in London.
He adopted the forgetting Sarah Marshall version. Hello, you sound like you're from London, which is the movie with Jason Segel, I think his name is, the guy from How I Met Your Mother. So that's forgetting Sarah Marshall. That's what he adopted.
Hey, Celtics fans, we'll see you in London.
Gordon Hayward had maybe the best one. Let's see if this one's him.
It's game time here in London. You have
Let's see.
The Queen will be there, will you?
That's Gordon Hayward.
The Queen will be there, will you?
So that one's pretty good. And then let's see here.
At O2 Arena, make sure to watch us.
That's also Horford.
Make sure to watch us at O2 Arena.
So that's Horford. He's not good.
January 11th.
And that's Jaylen Brown.
January 11th.
So Celtics having a little fun with their trip overseas. And I have to say this. I'll have to tweet out a picture of it, but I had people coming up to me all day today in the office saying, Brady, what hat are you wearing? It's a minor league baseball hat, and it is the Rochester garbage plates. And if you're not familiar with what a garbage plate is, if you listen to the UVM games, when UVM took on St. Bonaventure, they played this game in Rochester, New York, which is where UVM star Anthony Lamb is from. A lot of the focus of that pregame show was on what exactly a garbage plate is. And a garbage plate is a Western New York staple. It's served in a styrofoam dish. And a garbage plate is home fries, mac salad, and then like one hot dog and one hamburger bun all wrapped up into one thing. So it's called a garbage plate. You can get it at 2 in the morning if you've been drinking. You can get it at 6 p.m. for dinner. It is just a Western New York staple. So the Rochester Red Wings are the AAA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. And for one night last season, they changed their name and their jerseys. They became the Rochester Garbage Plates. So I am wearing a garbage plate, a Rochester Garbage Plate hat now. And the reason why is because, well, I told you guys that hats are my, you know, were at one point my big collector's item. And I am the best man in a wedding coming up in the middle of July. And the guy who's getting married lives in Rochester and is now, you know, set up in Rochester, and the wedding's in Rochester. So as a thank you for being his best man, he gave me a Rochester garbage plates hat. So I have to ask some of you who have been best men, number one, do you generally get a gift? So am I lucky to get any gift? That's my first question. And then two, if you are a best man, what do you usually get? Like, should I have been expecting a watch? Should I have been expecting something that's $100 in value? Should I have just been expecting a high five and I'm lucky to get anything? So let me know. Am I like the easiest to please best man ever? You can get in 802-655-6672. Also, have you ever had a garbage plate? That's something that I would like you guys to get in on too. I have had a garbage plate. They are delicious. I have had them multiple times of day. Like I said, I've had them at 6 p.m. I probably had them at 2 a.m. also. So have you ever had a garbage plate? And what do you generally get if you're a best man, or if you've had a best man you've given a gift to, what do you usually give? Because I want to know, you know, just how pumped I should be with my Rochester garbage plates hat. But until you guys start getting into the Town Fair Tire text line, it's time for batting practice. Who's saying what? What's going on?
Champlain Valley Game Night Batting Practice.
Lots to get to here in batting practice. Lots of stuff said all around the sports world. Let's start. We were just talking about the NFL draft. Let's go and talk about the NFL draft. Bill Polian, former NFL executive with the Bills and Colts, he was on Golic and Wingo this morning right here on 101.3 ESPN. He talked about what I was talking about, the Giants and their draft strategy, what it should be.
In any other situation, mm-hmm. let's say the Giants, A, you got to consider what the veteran's going to command, both in salary mm-hmm. And Smith is going to command a salary too. You know, he's got 1 year left on his contract, so you're going to pay draft choice compensation and a new deal for him. Mm-hmm. So you got to figure what your salary cap mm-hmm. is, what you've got committed to the guy who's already there, if you're the Giants, and whether or not you can make that work with a veteran. It seems to me that you would lean more toward a young understudy in that situation. Pick the best guy and let him learn on the job, because none of the top three, as we said last year and we'll say again this year until we're blue in the face, are ready to play. Right.
Bill Polian talking about the Giants' need for a young quarterback and their need at the quarterback position. I think you're going to keep Eli Manning this year. I think you have to draft a quarterback with that number two pick. If you have what people think are generational quarterbacks, then you have to take it. And maybe he's not ready to play now, but I shouldn't need him to be ready to play now. If Dave Gettleman does what he said he's going to do and fortifies the offensive line, then I trust that Eli Manning can at least be average. I'm not asking the Giants to go from 3-13 to 13-3. I'm not. But can they go from 13-3 to 8-8? Can they go from 13-3 to 9-7 and just be relevant the last few weeks of the season? I think that's possible. Because if the offensive line gets better, I think Eli gets better. I think the running game gets better. But still, you have to draft for the future. This Giants team is not winning the Super Bowl next year. It's not going to happen. The Cowboys are still good. The Eagles are still good. The Redskins, I don't know. I think they regress, especially if they lose Kirk Cousins. I think the Giants are in a position to battle for second or third place, especially remember they are going to be playing that last place schedule next year. So that can help a little bit because you're going to get a couple of games there where you're going up against last place caliber teams. But I think one of them is against Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners. So we're also going to play a last place schedule, and that's not a last place team that I would want to be playing. I think the Giants need a young quarterback. I think they need to draft it. I think they need to draft him high up. There are going to be 5 to 6 quarterbacks that people are really, really high on. Man, I guess if you think that someone's going to be there at the first pick of the second round for you at, you know, 33 or whatever it is. Let's see, 32 teams in the league, so I guess it would be 34 would be the pick. If you think a generational quarterback you can get at 34, then maybe you can wait on that first pick. But if you think Darnold's the guy and you can get him at 2 if Cleveland doesn't get him, then I'd look there. I'm not sold on Rosen. I don't know that I like his attitude. I'm not sold on Mayfield's attitude for sure. And I haven't seen enough yet of Josh Allen, the kid out of Wyoming. Also on the draft, Sean Payton was on Golic and Wingo today. He talked about the importance of the NFL draft for his team.
This offseason, when we went through and identified, hey, here are the areas we need to improve, and we kind of targeted in free agency a few positions and then targeted the priorities in the draft. And anytime we've had a decent draft here, generally they've been the right kind of makeup, toughness. They've been talented, but they've also had great football makeup.
Sean Payton says, look, we hit in the draft, and then we were able to go out and accentuate that in free agency, and that's what it's all about. That's what I want the Giants to do. The Patriots are the outlier. They've had the quarterback, so they've been able to fill in the gaps everywhere else in a lot of places. The Giants are going to need three, four starters out of this year's draft. And they're going to need 3-4 starters out of next year's draft so that in 3 years, they're ready to go. Look at how the Jaguars were built. Look at how the Saints were built. It's that way. You hit on a couple of different drafts every year. The Giants have not been doing that. You hit with Beckham. You hit with Collins. You hit with Sterling Shepard. I think this year you hit with Ingram. But they're not hitting enough per draft. I mean, if you need to hit 2 at the bare minimum, but 3 to 4 preferably every year, the Giants are hitting 1 to 2 tops, and they've been doing that pattern for a decade. There have been some years where the Giants have hit on nobody in their draft, and it's ended up being a completely wasted year. Continuing on here in batting practice, Sean Payton speaking of the draft again. He was talking about Alvin Kamara, the guy who he drafted this year in at the running back position, who's been, again, up with Kareem Hunt for NFL Rookie of the Year. When did you know you wanted to draft Alvin Kamara?
When we worked him out, I kind of put him through a series of different drills that I knew he had good hands, but I wanted to see how strong his hands were. And so, you know, we put him out at receiver. We brought him into the backfield, ran him on a few rail routes, ran him on a few escapes. And all the while, you know, we're kind of talking about football and if it's hot, I want you to do this. And then he'd do it. And boy, everything came very smooth in that workout and easily understood. Listen, he had a bright smile. I mean, this is a, you know, not only a talented kid, but a guy you like being around. And I think someone who his teammates enjoy being around. And I remember just getting on the plane. We were heading to Michigan next, and I remember thinking, man, we have to draft that player.
It's continuing to be more and more evident in the NFL. Versatility. Versatility is becoming more and more important in the NFL. It's becoming more and more important in sports. Look at the running back position. It's not just can you carry it 30 times a game now. Now it is a lot of, can you do everything? Can you carry it 16? Can you catch it 7? Can you return kicks in some cases? Look at what Deion Lewis is doing. He'll carry it, you know, 15, 18, 20 times, and he'll catch 3-4 passes. Look at James White. He'll catch 6 passes and carry it 4. Rex Burkhead, same thing. These guys are varied skill sets. Look at the linebacker position. Can you also be a down rusher? Can you also get in coverage, and can you stop the run? We're looking for more and more versatility. You see it in basketball. 7-footers that can shoot threes. Okay? 6'10 players that can handle the ball. We're watching Ben Simmons earlier today talk, or we're watching him earlier. He's handling the ball at 6'10, bringing it up the court for Philadelphia. Gordon Hayward is 6'8, 6'9 for the Celtics. And when he comes back, he's going to be a primary ball handler along with Kyrie Irving. People getting in the Town Fair Tire text line. Harry in St. George goes, Brady, a Vermont garbage plate would have kale, quinoa, cheese, and goat, but it would be lushed down or washed down with a great Frost Brewery Lush IPA. Go Pats. That's Harry in St. George. Nick in Plattsburgh. You should always be hitting on your first-round picks. Reeks couldn't even do that. I saw an article on ESPN that showed he had the least hits in later rounds of any GM, and it was by a large margin. And look, I've made this point too, and I've talked a lot about this also in reference to the New York Knicks. Talk about teams that don't hit on draft picks. The New York Knicks haven't hit on draft picks for years, and that's part of the reason why they are so far removed from relevance. Let's look this year at the New York Giants, okay? It's too early to judge this year's draft class, but right now you've got one sure hit in Evan Ingram. To me, that's a definite. Evan Ingram is a definite. Wayne Gallman, the running back, is a possibility. So the jury's out, but I'll say you've got one there. 2016, Eli Apple right now, nothing. Sterling Shepard, I'm going to say yes. BJ Goodson, nothing. Paul Perkins, a little bit. Not really. I'll give you one. I'll give you Sterling Shepard, and that's one. So far, we're at one each year. 2015, Eric Flowers. He hasn't been good, but at least he's been a starter. So I'll give you Eric Flowers and Landon Collins. We'll call it two. 2014, Odell Beckham. That's it. Devon Kennard to a degree. But, I mean, we're looking at two again. 2013, Justin Pugh, Jonathan Hankins. That was two. That's it. 2012, zero. Nobody there. 2011, Prince Amukamara. One. That's it. 2010, you hit on two. 2009, you hit on 1.5, Hakeem Nicks and Will Beatty. So we're going back now almost 10 years, and we're getting 1-2, if we're lucky, to call them successes in the Giants draft. That's why the team has gone down and why they've had to overpay in free agency. We got more to get to here in batting practice. The music is over. We're going to run it back, though.
Champlain Valley Game Night, batting practice.
Batting practice continues on Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN. John Gruden, he was talking about his new job with the Oakland Raiders. What did Gruden have to say?
I just think there's a lot of Raider fans out there, and I think the history of this place, you saw it today. I mean, how many Pro Bowl Hall of Fame players were here today? It's got an unbelievable tradition, incredible fan base, and for Al Davis to hire me, and then Mark Davis to rehire me, I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
I'm excited to have John Gruden back in football. I don't know that he's going to lead the Raiders back to super prominence, and for the money he's getting paid, he'll need to. I don't know that it's going to work out, but I know that football is better with John Gruden in it. I thought he was great on Monday Night Football, and I think he's going to be great for the league as a head coach, and hopefully he's great for the Raiders. I'd like to see that fan base in Oakland have some good memories before the team leaves to Vegas, because I'm not a fan of teams leaving cities. I've seen the Sonics do it in Seattle. I saw what it did to my dad when the Browns left and went to Baltimore and became the Ravens. It's crushing for a fan base. And we talked to Blaine Bishop yesterday, who said it was like playing in a ghost town when he was in Houston when the Oilers left to become the Tennessee Titans. I don't think it's fair to anybody except a new city that will hopefully embrace a team. But so I hope Gruden helps the Oakland fan base for the year or two that they are still there. Continuing on here a little bit in the Patriot game, Mike Mularkey, the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, he was talking about the Patriots' discipline and how it's going to be on display on Saturday night.
I've said it before, they're very disciplined. These guys, they're not going to beat themselves. They make minimal errors. They make the opponent do the damage to themselves. They're not going to let you a bend don't break type of defense. Very methodical offense of working the ball down the field, and he's just been in the system, same system for a long time, and they can plug pieces in. They have been for years and had success, but they just don't make a lot of mistakes.
They don't make mistakes. They don't get penalized. Seventh in the league in penalties in terms of fewest per game. They're in the plus margin of the turnover margin this season. He's right. Patriots aren't going to beat themselves. If the Titans are going to come in here, they're going to have to hold the ball, not turn it over, and probably run it down the Patriots' throat in that bad weather. It doesn't seem likely, but it is possible. Continuing on here, getting ready for that game, Rob Gronkowski talking about being named an All-Pro.
I mean, it's definitely not an honor for sure. I mean, a lot of hard work, dedication, patience, the whole process of coming back. Definitely, I would say patience is the virtue there. I mean, you just can't come back right away and think you're going to be able to go out full speed. So just a lot of hard work, dedication. It's definitely an honor, a humbling honor, but it means nothing now. To tell you the truth, it means nothing. It's the playoffs now. It's one and done if you lose. So just got to keep on preparing, looking forward now and not looking the past.
Gronk continues to be just like Brady and Belichick. He knows exactly what to say, and yeah, maybe he sounds goofier saying it, but he's got the right methodology too. It's all about Tennessee, and it's all about moving on. Text coming in, Kyle in Colchester. What's up with the Vermont Bucks, Brady? A little random, Kyle, but they moved up a league this year. They moved up a league, and they're not going to play in the same league that they won last year. That's what's up with the Vermont Bucks. Continuing on, last one. I thought this was interesting. So I'm watching Outside the Lines earlier today on ESPN2. And Bob Lee is the host. He's talking with a guy who's involved in Georgetown University's basketball marketing. And they're talking about how can they get more students to the game. And Georgetown's getting a high number of students to come out to games that they wouldn't typically get students to come out to. So I assume that means like lower level opponents or whatever, and or games that are on break traditionally. This is what the marketing guy at Georgetown said. These are ideas they're using to get students in the game.
Yeah, so actually, we are going to have a fashion faux pas themed night at an upcoming basketball game for our student section. So you know, you can wear socks and sandals. You can wear a brown belt with black shoes. You can wear white after Labor Day. There will be a kind of a judgment-free zone at a game coming up in February. So we like to do that kind of the fun stuff to encourage some of our students to come out to games they normally wouldn't come out to, and so we have a good time with it.
Judgment-free zone. I might have some leisure suits from the 70s. We'll have to see for that.
So, look, I don't care what UVM does. I want UVM to do things like this. Get students in the seats. I know it's hard. I know it's cold. I know a lot of games are played while the students are on break. It's cold. Some of these are walks in the snow. I get it. You used to get me to go to games with free pizza. So I want to see UVM come up with some creative marketing just like that. Fashion faux pas night at UVM. Let's make it happen, everybody there in Catamount Country. All right, that'll do it for Batting Practice, the best sound bites in sports. That's what was said and what's going on. When we come back, I'll continue to take your texts. J.D. Martinez and the Red Sox. This stalemate has proved the point I've been making to you for 6 months. That's next on Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, everybody, final segment, Champlain Valley Game Night here on a Thursday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our great listeners. Our ratings came out today, and look, I'm not at liberty to give you numbers. I'm not allowed to do that. Again, a lot of them probably wouldn't mean a whole lot to you anyways, but our listenership is very, very strong, and we appreciate you, and all the emails, texts, tweets, Facebook posts that we get. all of it largely positive, and we appreciate all of you for always reaching out and for always listening. Okay. The Red Sox need to continue to develop a farm system. The Red Sox need to continue to develop a farm system. Say it with me, write it on the whiteboard, because it's true and it's being evidenced by this J.D. Martinez stalemate. I'm not saying the Red Sox have never had a farm system. In fact, they've had a pretty good farm system pretty recently. Andrew Benintendi, Rafael Devers, Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts all came from that farm system. The Red Sox have developed players before. They need to develop their farm system again. And this J.D. Martinez situation is the perfect reason to prove that. The Red Sox do not want to go 7 years for a 30-year-old outfielder slash DH. And that's understandable. You've seen the big contracts around baseball that have burned teams out before. Albert Pujols, Jason Worth, Barry Zito. It's going to happen to Robinson Cano. I mean, you've seen it. These albatross contracts, they're not good for the team. So the Red Sox don't want to go 7 years for Martinez. Well, what is the answer then? The answer is twofold. One, let's have a young stud of our own that we develop and can do that. That we can just, we know there's somebody there in AAA that we can bring up. Red Sox don't have that. And they did when they had Betts and Bradley and Benintendi. So they have developed outfielders. But you need a constant influx of these guys. Why are the Yankees right now in a great position? Aaron Judge, Clint Frazier, they're all there. Okay, and they're on the precipice of being able to get brought up. The Red Sox, they don't have that. They've either already brought it up or they've shifted it completely away. Or they've traded it completely away. Then the other answer is, okay, what about a young player that's already established, that's under team control for a while, that we could trade for? Like Christian Yelich. Christian Yelich is the stud outfielder for the Miami Marlins, and the Marlins are looking to move him because they're in a total fire sale. Well, Yelich, cheap, young, affordable, established, already a superstar. Done deal, right? Everybody in the league wants him. What does it take to get him? It takes top prospects. If you want that guy, then you better have the prospect capital to get him, and the Red Sox don't. If you can't get J.D. Martinez, okay, let me amend that. You're going to have to overpay for what you want to get J.D. Martinez. I'm at least 50% sure that the Red Sox are going to have to give in to some of Martinez and Scott Boras' demands, whether it's the sixth year, whether it's more money, whatever it is. If they want him, they're going to have to cave at least a little bit. If you had top prospects constantly that could replenish your own roster, you wouldn't need to do that. Or you could go out and get a much more affordable version of an outfielder like Yelich if you had the prospect capital constantly coming in to trade for Yelich, and you don't have that either. So you, like the New York Giants, like we talked about earlier, okay, you have to overpay in free agency because you're not drafting and developing at the rate you need to be. Look at what the Astros traded for Justin Verlander. They have 15 top prospects. They could give away two for Verlander. They might get Gerrit Cole. They can give away two more, and they still have 10. Red Sox don't have three. Red Sox don't have one. There's nobody there that the Marlins would want to take for Yelich, and there's nobody that you can bring up to take the place of Martinez. So the Red Sox, this is proving it to me even more that you're going to need to develop that farm system. Just like Dave Gettleman and his new regime in New York is going to need to draft well, Dave Dombrowski and company are going to have to start drafting and signing better and developing players, because they're going to need to constantly refill this big league roster. And the big paydays are coming for their roster. Their roster is going to be bogged down with massive contracts if you want to keep everybody. You've already got Price. You've already got Pedroia. There's two. Well, Betts is going to need a deal. And Bogaerts is going to need a deal. And Bradley's going to need a deal. And Sale's going to need a deal. And Kimbrel's going to need a deal. These are all players that are going to need a deal that I imagine you would like to keep. you would like to keep these players, and they're all going to need big deals. And if they're all making big money, or 4/6 of them are making big money that you're able to keep, you're going to need even more young players to come up to fill out the rest of the roster because you're so bogged down with massive money. That's the way this goes. The Red Sox need a farm system, and they need it fast. It's Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Kyle in Colchester says, thanks for answering my random question on the Vermont Bucks. Well, you're welcome, Kyle. We're here to help you on Champlain Valley Game Night. The season starts in the middle of March, so about a month and a half after the Super Bowl. So looking forward to another year of Vermont Bucks football and hopefully another championship. Something I saw today that really just it made me sad. I'm not going to use a name, but do you ever wonder if you played a high school sport or even just, you know, you went to high school, do you ever wonder what became of people? Do you ever wonder what became of people in your own class, people maybe a year or two above or below you? Do you ever wonder what happened to certain people? And especially if you're an athlete, do you ever wonder what would happen to guys you played against from rival schools? I came across this today that a guy who I played against in high school was a very, very good player, was a Division I player, actually. I won't tell you which sport, but he was a Division I player, he's a Division I athlete. And I saw today, 28 years old, same age as me, he was arrested for having a pound of cocaine in his car. And it just made me sad because you never know what happens to people sometimes. You know, I keep in touch with, you know, I would say maybe 10 people that I went to high school with semi-regularly. 3 or 4 I keep in touch with all the time, and another 6 or 7 that I'm in touch with a lot throughout the year because of fantasy football and weddings and all that stuff. College, add another 6 to 7. So it's not that many people. And so you don't always know what happened to people you went to school with. You don't always know what happened to people you played against from other schools or people you just knew about. And it was sad to see. I had known that this guy had some issues. I didn't know that they were like this. We were never friends. We just played against each other. It just got me thinking, like, man, this kid was a Division I athlete, had everything in front of him. And now, you know, an addiction problem has sapped him of all of those opportunities. And now he's going to be in jail for 10 years. And look, again, he brought a lot of it on himself, it sounds like, but regardless, it just makes you think, like, you just don't know. You just don't know what happens to certain people, and now I'm a little more inspired even to go back and check in on other people that I went to high school with and just see how people are doing, because you don't know. So, again, a little off topic, but it was just sad for me to see that. So, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Hey, that's it for us on a Thursday. Remember, every Wednesday, Trivia City Sports Grill in Colchester. Thank you to everybody who came out yesterday. A massive success. I'm looking forward to being there next Wednesday, 7:30 to 9:30. We've got the Patriots Watch Party. That's this Saturday night, 8:15, McGillicuddy's in Colchester. Both events, tons of raffles, tons of giveaways, tons of prizes, all kinds of stuff going on. We look forward to seeing you guys everywhere. Saturday, McGillicuddy's, Wednesday, City Sports Grill. We'll be back tomorrow on a Football Friday. We'll get you ready one more time for Titans Patriots. All that and more tomorrow on 101.3.